Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, your one stop for creative inspiration. We have a terrific hour of ideas and tips for you today, so let's get to it. Here's your host, Pat Sloan.
Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and today I have got Julie Herman on from Jaybird Quilts on this first segment, and this is going to be a really fun segment because Julie always has a really nice, fresh look at quilts. I like to think that she takes a sort of tried and true pattern and gives it a very unique Julie type of twist. She's done a lot of different things, and what's really wonderful right now, she has a brand new book, plus she has a ruler out that I'm very intrigued with because it has all to do with hexagons. So I'm really excited to have Julie Herman on. Hi, Julie.
I'm really excited to be here, Pat.
This is just great. I love your work. You know, you have been quilting for a while now, and you know, why do you love quilting?
Why do I love quilting? The better question is, why don't I love quilting? I love quilting for every reason, but probably most people, it's an excuse to buy fabric. I mean, it's just fun to go into a quilt shop and pet it and play with it and put in pretty little stacks and then sew something up with it.
I know. I tell people I actually quilt so that I can buy fabric. So I have a reason.
I've said that as well.
Yes, it's all about the fabric. So when you actually start designing, Julie, does it work for you to have a design in mind and then you look for fabric, or do you find fabric and then have to build something to showcase it?
I work both ways. Sometimes I see a fabric and it inspires a design, or other times one of my new patterns that I'm releasing at market is called Traffic, and it was inspired by being stuck in traffic here driving north on the 5 in California, and then I went in search of the perfect fabric once I had the pattern. So it works both ways with me.
Yeah, I think, you know, I found when I talk to designers, and I think quilters in general, maybe you find this too, that it depends. Sometimes it goes with a pattern and sometimes with a fabric. I love that name, Traffic. Oh my gosh, who can't relate to that?
There's a lot of it here in California.
Jeez. So let's first talk about your ruler, because I am really intrigued with this. I haven't seen it in person yet, and I hope to do that next week. It's called Hex and More. What made you design a ruler? You're kind of a tool gal, right?
I am a tool girl, and I own a ton of rulers and notions and gadgets and gizmos, and the ruler was really an answer to a problem that I had. I love 60-degree triangles, and most of those rulers all measure base to tip, but all of the hexagon templates are based off of the English paper piecing, and they measure in the length of a side, so the geometry never matched up for any triangle ruler to work with a hexagon ruler. So I had a light bulb moment and drew it up and made my own.
Wow. Wow. You know, that's pretty exciting. Describe the ruler to me.
So the ruler is cut 16 shapes out of the same ruler, four sizes of each of the four shapes, which are a complete hexagon, a half hexagon, a jewel, and a 60-degree triangle. And because geometry is awesome, each of the four sizes all work together. So the largest of all four work together, the medium of all four, the small, the baby. And so there's so many different possibilities because all the pieces can match up in so many different ways.
Yeah, and you have, I've seen the graphic for the pattern, and you have a really nice coloration that shows people sort of the units in it.
Yeah, the cover of the packaging that comes with the ruler shows where all the pieces can be cut, and it comes with full color directions that show how to cut each of the pieces, as well as I did step-by-step photo tutorials on my blog, because I know a lot of people like seeing the photos versus the diagrams, but I wanted to give it to people in both ways to make it as simple as possible, because once you understand how it works, the possibilities are limitless.
Yeah, I just, you know, I'm really excited. I hope to get a demo on it at the trade show. You have a place on your site. Where would they go to find the info on your website?
On my website, there's tabs across the top, and one of them says Hex and More, and when you click on that tab, it takes you to all the different links of each of the photo step-by-step tutorials, and I do have some videos that we filmed. I just need to get some time to edit them together, and those will be up on the blog as well.
Okay, so if they buy just the ruler, you have enough directions in there, they don't need to buy an additional pattern?
If they come up with their own idea, they do have all the cutting directions in there if they want to come up with their own pattern. But in addition, I have put together 8 different patterns, and I'll be continuing to release more that specifically use all the shapes and show you how to create that specific quilt pattern.
Yeah. So I like one of them. It's called Tasty.
Yes. I have lots of fun names. My family said I need to stop using food-related names for my patterns. They get hungry all the time.
So when you did you have these manufactured yourself, or did you partner with somebody?
I produced them myself. I considered different options and decided to go ahead and do it on my own, and I thought about producing them out of the country, in the country. Would have saved money out of the country, but decided I wanted to support U.S. manufacturing, so I sourced out some plastics companies and went through that whole experience. And, so they're made here right in the U.S., and I'm producing them myself. I'm very proud.
Wow, that's exciting. Good for you. That's a huge undertaking to go into production of a product.
Yes, I have a garage full of rulers.
And they can buy them from you or their local quilt shop, right?
They can buy them from local quilt shops. I have a where to buy page on my website that lists all the different shops that are carrying them so that it's as easy for people to find as possible.
Very cool. Okay. Well, let's talk about your book, because I think you've had a book tour going on across some blogs. I love the title. The title of the book is called Skip the Borders. You know, how perfect is that? Because every quilt doesn't need a border, does it?
Yes, very true. And that's really where the book came from, was early on in my quilting experience. I kept being told, well, you put a border on because. And there was no because this, because that, and I was just told I was supposed to do it. And I don't really like being told I'm supposed to do something without any kind of reasoning or justification. So I started drafting up a whole lot of ideas, and I realized most of the quilts that I made didn't have borders. Some did, some didn't, and kind of that's where it all developed from.
So describe, do you have like a favorite one? I mean, I know you're not supposed to have a favorite, you know, in your book, but I bet you do.
I do, but that's like asking your favorite child. I do kind of feel like I'm picking on the other ones. I love the cover quilt, but my favorite in the book actually probably is Framed Coins, which is in the third section of the book, which is called Outside the Block, which has to do with structures that are not necessarily just a block, a block, a block. And, in that quilt, if people look really closely, all those black and white fabrics are hidden things about my family. So there's different fabrics that represent different parts of my family in that quilt.
Oh, neat. That must have been fun to look for fabrics.
Yes, I had actually been accumulating a whole bunch of black and white things for a very long time and was saving them for the perfect project. And when I came up with this design, like we talked about earlier, the fabric or the pattern, it was the perfect combination.
So, With the quilts, is there one, if people haven't really done without a border, would you suggest one of those quilts as like the starter one, like to get over your fear of no borders, you know, how to work with a quilt that doesn't have a border?
Perfect. There's a lot of them in the book. I would actually suggest the cover quilt, which is called Four Pat Shift. It's from the first section of the book, which is one block quilts. So all they have to do is learn how to make one block, and it's a pretty simple block, and the dynamic, you know, finishing look of the pattern has to do with just rotating the blocks 90 degrees, switching them up between the columns and the rows, and it creates a real interesting look that was actually really simple to create.
Yeah. So when you were making these, did you ever have like that second thought, like just before you were saying, no border, where you thought, well, maybe this one needs a border? Did you?
I did. And there's actually some quilts that are not in the book because of that. In development, you know, some of them needed a border, so they got pulled, and maybe they become patterns, or people haven't seen them yet. They're still in development. But no, that's a very valid question, because that did happen.
Yeah, because I would think, like, once you started playing, when you play around with the design, don't you find, like, when you start putting the fabric in it, things start to change?
Absolutely. And I always say, I let my quilt speak to me. They tell me whether they want a border or not, whether they feel like design-wise that it needs it to be finished or not. So I have conversations with my quilts.
A true quilter. You know, you are one of the contributors to American Patchwork and Quilting and Quilts and More. And online at allpeoplequilt.com, we have a couple of your projects. Thank you.
Yes.
One of them, both of them, I think, are borderless. Imagine that.
They are.
Yeah, I know. I just noticed, you know, when I was reviewing this, I thought, oh, she didn't do borders for those. So you have one called Circles and Squares and another one with little houses and hearts. Tell me about the quilt with the houses and the hearts.
That quilt is near and dear to me. That one was inspired at the time by the fabric, which was called Hometown by Sweetwater, and I kind of came up with the house idea. But I made that quilt right in the midst of then finding out we were moving across the country from the East Coast to the West Coast. And when it got put in the magazine, they named it Home at Last.
Oh.
And then I got the quilt back right after I moved, and it was kind of emotional and really fitting and is a very, very special quilt to me now.
Oh, wow. That is a lovely story. How amazing. And it's adorable. It's little house blocks, which are just so cute, and then one heart block. So
yeah.
It's beautiful. And you
Thank
can
you.
Find it on the site by doing, just put in Julie's name, Julie Herman, and it'll come up. So you made this huge, big move. Has it been a year, Julie?
It has been a year. I just hit my year mark a couple weeks ago.
1 year from going to East Coast to West Coast. So what was it like? What's it like? Is it hugely different?
You know, there's subtle differences here and there. One of the big differences right now is, you know, we're in middle end of October, and it's 90-some degrees today, and we have the air conditioning on.
Yeah.
You don't have that on the East Coast.
No. And you were from the Pennsylvania area, which I know the Pennsylvania area very well, and it does not, you know, California is not going to go down into the zeros, is it?
No, and I don't miss the shoveling of the snow. I don't miss that. I enjoyed it when I was a kid. Now that I'm a grown-up, not as much. But the main reason I moved was my family, and it's been great to have them and be closer. And my brother, his wife, and kids live out here, and they're actually expecting another one in a couple weeks, so I have to finish a new baby quilt really quickly.
Wow. Cool. Yeah. New babies. So have you met a lot of quilters in the year that you've been there?
I've met a good amount. You know, there's definitely a different style out here. I wouldn't say one is better than the other by any means. It seems like there's more quilters out here, which most people on the East Coast when I was leaving, you know, thought, oh, it's really warm there. People probably don't quilt. Well, they do. There's a lot of quilters in California.
And a lot of shops. Certain areas, there's quite a few quilt shops.
Yes, and I'm very lucky that Eleanor Burns' shop, Quilt in a Day, happens to be four stoplights from my house. And So Modern up in L.A. happens to be 3 miles from my brother's house, so I'm never at a shortage for getting fabric.
That's good. Julie, this has been wonderful to have you come on American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. Thank you. We'll go out and visit Julie at jbirdquilts.com. This is American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and we're going to take a little break. And when we come back, we're going to be talking to Cindy Souter.
Looking for fresh, simple, and fun projects and ideas? Check out the current issue of Quilts & More magazine at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
Introducing the new Bernina 7 Series machines with the latest sewing and embroidery innovations, including an extended free arm and embroidery area, the Bernina Stitch Regulator, and a world's first, the B9 Hook. Sew quieter, faster, and without interruption. With up to 1,000 stitches per minute and 80% more bobbin thread capacity than our standard bobbins, there's no limit to your creativity. For more information, visit Bernina.com/7 Series. Bernina, made to create.
Welcome back to the Fall 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show. These collections are hot, hot, hot. Fig Tree is back with a new collection called Tapestry, which weaves together Greek and Moroccan influences for a beautiful result. We're mad for the plaids in the WeWoven's Brights collection. Next, pull up an Adirondack chair and enjoy the Ocean View by Paul Brent. And finally, Three Sisters delivers a delicious helping of double chocolat with scrumptious colors of dark chocolate, cherry, caramel, and vanilla bean. Stay tuned for more runway reporting. Visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics.
Make the most of your sewing machine by watching Machine Minute videos brought to you by Babylock. Learn about popular topics like tension troubles, stitch length, needles, buttonholes, zipper basics, and more. Watch these videos at allpeoplequilt.com/videos.
Win $10,000 cash to stock your stash. Enter today to win the ultimate $10,000 crafting giveaway at allpeoplequilt.com/craft giveaway.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I am your host, Pat Sloan, and now I have Cindy Souter of Moonlighting Quilts. Isn't that a great name? I love that name, Moonlighting. She has a way of looking at a pile of fabric that turns the quilt into memories. She specializes in tribute quilts, and I do believe that Cindy is the cheerleader of all challenges. Every time there's a challenge, I'm getting a note from Cindy asking me to participate, which is way, way fun. So we're going to talk about challenges. And so she's here to talk about all of these really nifty things with us today. Hi, Cindy.
Hey, Pat. How are you?
I am really good. I'm really good. You have sort of specialized or, you know, really feel like a real devotion and love of making quilts that are a tribute to a person or an event. You know, why did you sort of lean towards that in your work?
You know, I never set out to do that specifically, but now that I do make tribute quilts and celebration quilts, I feel like this is where my life has been leading me. Kind of strange, huh?
Yeah, you know, it is. I think, you know, not that it's strange for you, but I mean, I think it's strange how for any of us, as we make quilts, you probably didn't start out making those.
I didn't. I really didn't. I made quilts. I've been making quilts for, a very long time. Not a number, I think, I'll admit to. And I started making quilts simply for myself, and then I started making quilts that I would give to people when the quality began to get to the point where I could give them with a straight face and be happy with the quality. People started to ask me if I would sell my quilts. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want to go through the motions of putting together an inventory, and so I did commission work instead.
Ah.
And that led to one person who came to me about 10 or 12 years ago and said that she had lost her husband and that she treasured his tie collection, his long ties, mm-hmm. four in hand, I think they're called. And she wanted to know if I could make a quilt to honor him and his life using highlighting these ties. And I hemmed and hawed and was, frankly, a little afraid of the responsibility that would go with this. What if I made a quilt she didn't like? What if I did something to these ties, which cannot be replaced?
Right.
So I went ahead and I made the quilt, and she really liked it, and everything was great. And then word got out that I did that, and someone else called, and would you do this for me? Here's what I have. Mm-hmm. And so now clients come with clothing, with trinkets and pictures and all kinds of memories, and it becomes my job to get to know the client, get mm-hmm. to know the person that they've lost, and try to come up with some sort of a design or construct that makes sense and that is appropriate and respectful and integrates all of the things that they've brought me, which I love the challenge, but it can right. really be a challenge.
Yes, yes, that's wow. And I think, you know, the everyday quilter has the same desire, and often people who quilt want to do that themselves. You're actually working on a book that will teach people to do this.
I am, Pat. I actually, my work, hopefully, on the book is done.
Oh.
It's with the publisher. Oh, yeah. Yes. There's nothing that feels quite as good as sending something off and knowing that you're finished with it. It should be out in the spring, and I'm very excited about it. It's called Creating Celebration Quilts, and it's from Schiffer Books. And in it, I have five different quilts that celebrate not only folks that we've lost, but also births, and weddings, and one quilt I have in the book actually celebrates an event that happens in Delaware. We're in October right now. This is an October event called Pumpkin Chunkin', which is a competition where people build machines to hurl pumpkins. And so, you know, we quilters, we celebrate a lot of different things.
We do. We do. Do you find, Cindy, like when you go to the guilds, that if you listen during show and tell, when the people in the guild bring their quilts up, I would say a good half of the quilts are a gift or a tribute or a celebration?
Oh, that's one of the things I love about quilters. I don't know very many quilters who only make quilts for themselves or only make quilts that they love. The quilters that I talk to are making quilts as gifts, are sharing the love of quilting, sharing their gifts themselves, sharing their abilities. I love to hear the stories behind the quilts that I see. And you're absolutely right about show and tell. That's my favorite part of going to a guild meeting, is the show and tell.
Yeah, I just love the show and tell. So tell me what, you know, we talked a little bit about some different things, and you said one of the things that you love, besides making the quilts that you make for commission, one of the things you love is you teach and you like to help people problem solve as part of their quilt making. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, you're absolutely right, Pat. I love to problem solve. Everybody has a different favorite part of the process of making a quilt. And many people that I talk to about this will say that they love the collection of fabrics or they love the actual quilting part of it. And for me, it's getting that picture that's in my head, that vision of the quilt and how I want it to be, into fabric, that whole problem-solving process. And I find that it intimidates a lot of quilters who either don't consider themselves art quilters or they haven't yet gotten to the point where they're confident enough in the abilities that they have. And so I like to talk about the problem solving, and I like to brainstorm with quilters to help them figure out how to get that vision into fabric, because that's the jazz, the process.
And do they just have this light bulb thing that happens sometimes when you're teaching a class?
You know, and that's, as a teacher, as an educator, and I'm thrilled to be able to put my education degree to work. it's a bonus. I love watching the light bulbs, and sometimes it's a floodlight, and sometimes it's a little twinkle bulb from a Christmas tree kind of thing.
Yeah.
But you can see the light bulbs happen, and it doesn't happen the same time for everybody, and it doesn't always happen, but my class has been a success in my head if most of the folks have had that aha moment where they know what you're talking about and they no longer need you in class. They're on their own now. They're working on their own, and you are there for questions rather than direction.
Now, people can take a workshop with you by finding where you're teaching out at moonlightingquilts.com. Do you have like a place on your site where you have a list of your teaching events?
I do. I have a calendar page, and for things that are coming up very soon, I try to highlight them on the homepage. For example, right now my homepage talks about Houston because we're getting ready to pack, you and I, and I've got some classes that I'm preparing for, so that's pretty exciting. Or I travel. You know, guilds book me to go and do workshops and lectures, and I'm always really happy to go on the road and share my love of quilting.
Ah, and now we have to talk challenges, because you have sucked me into more than one, Missy. That's
that I did. I would apologize, but I'm not sorry at all. If I have another,
I know you're not.
I'll call you.
I'm not sorry either. The challenges that I've done with you and a bunch of other people are based on some packages of fabrics that you sent us. Tell me a little bit about the first one that I got involved with, which was called Power Suits.
Power Suits. Power Suits started as such a small germ of an idea, and it now has such a life of its own. It all started one day while I was innocently working in my studio, and I received a phone call. And I saw the caller ID, and I did not recognize the name, and I know many of my friends do not answer if they don't recognize the name. But as a quilter, I never know who that next phone call is going to be, and so I answered. And it was a local tailor who had found me on the Internet and knew from that I teach and wanted to know if I might be interested in outdated swatch books. Mm-hmm. I was flabbergasted and said, absolutely. I tried to be polite enough to let him finish the question. But
right.
when you're around quilters and you say outdated swatch books, everybody's eyes get big and they lean forward because you know that they want to have these to play with. And I said, absolutely, I would love to have them so that, you know, you don't have to throw them away. And my husband went to pick them up, and he called me on the way back, and he said, how many do you think you're getting? And I said, I don't know, a box or two? And he said, you have more than that. At the end of the day, Pat, we had enough to cover several layers, to cover a pallet in a warehouse.
Wow.
It was amazing. And I originally had thought that I would use them and I would share them with my art quilt students, but then I realized, no, this is much bigger than that. So I contacted Judy Gula, who is a friend of mine. She owns Artistic Artifacts. And I said, this is an idea that I think is a little bigger than I want to handle by myself. Let's get together and work on this. And she was gung-ho and I was gung-ho. And a couple of months later, we had 105 quilters, 108 quilts.
Mm.
Yeah, participants came from 21 different states plus Canada, and the collection itself debuted at Artistic Artifacts in October of 2011, and it's traveling now. The collection is traveling and will travel through at least 2013.
Right, and people can see the actual information about it at powersuitquilts.com, but tell everybody what the actual challenge was that you gave us that accepted this package.
It was so much fun. I have to say that
it was.
This is basically what we had on the card. What does power suits mean to you? Does power suit conjure images of smoke filled rooms where deals are made? Is a power suit a garment or a person? Do you plug in a power suit? What if a power suit gave you superpowers? And what we asked is for people, quilters, and not all of them quilters, a couple of the folks who made quilts for this challenge had never made quilts before. They were collage artists or artists in other fields. 18 inches by 18 inches, address that topic, power suits. And while we're at it, here's a kit. Here's a packet, and it has swatch books in it and a couple of random buttons and an oddball, you know, tie of some kind. But we did not say that they had to use the materials. And so, mm-hmm. as so often happens, the quilters made up rules for themselves.
Yes.
And some of them decided they would use only the materials in the kit. Some decided they would use whatever they wanted, regardless of what we gave them. And then most folks kind of went middle of the road and used some and added some and had some fun. I loved yours. You did take off on the sailboats on the tie that was in your kit,
yes.
if I remember correctly, and did a beautiful
yes.
boat.
It was fun. I loved having the parameters to work in. I just thought that was the best part of the whole thing, Cindy.
And working small, Pat, 18 by
yes.
18 is doable.
It's very doable. Cindy, this has just been great to have you come on and chat with everybody, tell them a little bit about the things you're doing, and I'm very excited to see your book.
Oh, thanks so much, Pat. It's been great.
Everybody can visit Cindy Sauter at moonlightingquilts.com. We're going to take a little break, and when we come back, the editors from American Patchwork and Quilting are going to be here, and we're going to hear Jody and Jennifer chat a little bit about some really fun topics. This is American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and we'll be right back.
Ready for a new project? Choose from hundreds of free patterns in the Projects and Ideas section of our website, allpeoplequilt.com.
Introducing the new Bernina 7 Series machines with the latest sewing and embroidery innovations, including an extended free arm and embroidery area, the Bernina Stitch Regulator, and a world's first, the B9 Hook. Sew quieter, faster, and without interruption. With up to 1,000 stitches per minute and 80% more bobbin thread capacity than our standard bobbins, there's no limit to your creativity. For more information, visit bernina.com/7series. Bernina, made to create.
We're back at the Fall 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show. It's a great show, folks. Don't forget to mind your P's and Q's with Applejack, an alphabet-themed collection by Tim and Beck. Next, we're taking a journey to a whimsical land filled with cute critters, flowers, and sweet confections with Cherry on Top by Keiki. Hallelujah! The muted reds, navies, and creams of Old Glory Gatherings by Primitive Gatherings brings a nostalgic feel to the runway. And now, something for the men in your life. Trails End combines the beauty of fall leaves and wildlife. Stay tuned for more runway reporting and visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics.
Follow American Patchwork and Quilting on Pinterest to find ideas for bags, baby projects, pillowcases, storage and organization, and more. Visit pinterest.com/APQ magazine to join the fun.
What I love most about social media and Facebook in particular is how responsive quilters are and how much they love the social life and being able to share. And every now and then we'll ask a question that just strikes a chord and we get so much response from it. So today we're going to go over some of the responses that we got from our Facebook fans to the question, what's the best sewing advice you've ever received? And there were a couple of responses that showed up again and again. One that I used to hear all the time, my grandfather was a carpenter and my dad was an engineer. So the old measure twice and cut once. How often do we forget when we're looking at that ruler and cutting out a quilt to just count across the number of inches to make sure we're on the right line? There are so many lines on that ruler. But again and again, many of you said that the best advice you ever got was measure twice and cut once. Jody, what do you have to start with?
You know, another top response we got was that there are no quilt pulleys.
Amen.
I think we've all attended a guild meeting or a group meeting at one time where someone has shown off a quilt or shown off a project, and somebody who we would identify as the quilt police has maybe pointed out an error or something that they would do differently. And I think for most of us, what we love best about those guild meetings is show and tell and encouraging each other and looking at those projects and quilts. And I know it's my favorite thing. And even though I might not like a particular color or the way somebody sets something, it's always a learning experience for me and something that I get inspired by.
Exactly. And I think as new quilters and more quilters are starting out, we can really discourage them if we don't encourage through our appreciation of the art as they've expressed it. And some people were taught through school, some people are self-taught, and there are varying degrees of skill at different times in our quilting careers, and we can all point out quilts that we made early on that we think, ooh, I wish I would have done that better. But I know you've said before, you heard stories of people putting away their stuff and not quilting for a while.
Right, and that's not what we want to do. You know, I think for the most part, quilters are very encouraging to each other of color and design and helping out and getting us unstuck when we're stuck with a particular problem. So there are no quilt police out there.
That's exactly right. Well, Mary Ann, her response on Facebook was, it's your quilt. You can do whatever you want, aside from following the basic directions.
So I think that's great advice. And also, Michelle was another Facebook fan, and her comment was, keep trying. Nobody got needle turn applique perfect the very first time they tried.
And I don't know why it is, as quilters, sometimes we're so hard on ourselves. We do try a new technique, and we think, oh, I didn't get that, or I'm no good at applique, or I'm no good at, you know, fill in the blank. And it really is a matter of just trying again and again. And think about how much more accurate your seams are today and how much better you are at making perfect quarter-inch seams than you were the first time you started and you were swerving all over the fabric. Or is that
right?
Just me? another one that came in from Vicky was to slow down and enjoy the process. This isn't a race. I wish someone would have told me about stash building, but I think I'm in first place in that race. And I'm not sure if Vicky's in first place in that. I might give her a run for her money. But we do sometimes joke in the office that when we hear somebody sewing at a million miles an hour, that it's not really a competitive sewing field.
Yeah, take your time, slow down, enjoy the process. Joe said to never use a thread that's longer than from your hand to your elbow. And I think that's great advice, because sometimes you get to that thread so long because you don't want to rethread your needle. But what ends up happening is you just end up with knots and curls and you're untwisting, and it's just not a very fun thing to do. So get a needle threader, or you know, maybe a needle with a little bigger eye, but make sure you don't cut that thread too long, because it's just going to end up knotting and twisting. resting on you.
Right. And if you don't like to stop and start a lot, what I do sometimes, I used to be a member of that, like, you know, I'd have a piece of thread as long as a jump rope because I didn't want to thread the needle in the middle of my project. But now I'll thread 3 or 4 needles before I get started. I'll just buy that needle pack, stick them into the arm of the chair I'm sitting in, and then I don't have to stop and start, but I don't also have that jump rope for a thread.
Well, and I think one of the things that we need to remember that as quilters, and Valerie pointed this out, is that if you are a quilter or a sewer, you're probably also going to be a ripper. So just get used to having that seam ripper around. Find one that's comfortable for you. There's lots of different versions of seam rippers out there. So find one that's comfortable for you. Get used to it. And if you don't like the way your seams are going together, use that seam ripper, unpick those threads, and put it back together again.
Right. And what I loved about that one was that her best sewing advice was one thing that some people would see as a negative, like anything to do with a seam ripper, a lot of people will shy away from. But I think it's also in all in the way that you name it. I know when I was learning to unsew things, my friend would call it reverse sewing. So sometimes you can do a little reverse sewing.
I've also heard it called frogging.
Oh.
Rip it, rip it.
Oh, yeah. Isn't that funny? Dana, her best advice was, it's the imperfections that make your quilt perfect. And sometimes I think that is true. Just like the little imperfections in your home or in your real life, it's not all perfect. That can make your quilt perfect for you.
And Tiffany pointed out, hey, people don't notice the mistakes. Stop pointing them out and enjoy the praise. And I know I'm really guilty of that, is whenever somebody says, oh, I really like this project that you did, or this quilt's really neat, my typical response is to point out what I've done wrong, and I need to learn to just stop it and say thank you and appreciate the praise that you do get, because you do put a lot of time and effort into that.
Absolutely. Cindy commented her best advice was the 20/20 rule. If you can't see the mistake from 20 feet walking by at 20 miles an hour, it's not a mistake big enough to worry over. So
that's great. And Kelly said, I like to pick fabric that I like, because then you're always going to look at the quilt. Or if you pick fabric that you do like, or you're always going to look at the quilt and wish that it was different. So I think that's the one thing too. Always pick fabrics and colors that you enjoy working with, and you're always going to love that quilt, no matter if it's 5 years or 10 years or 20 years from now.
Sue had the comment to make quilting 50-50. Make one for yourself or someone you know, and make one to donate. And I love that. I think quilters, on the whole, are the most generous people. I know for the Million Pillowcase Challenge, we've seen over and over again just the charitable good nature of quilters around the world. And I think that's an awesome piece of advice.
Jody said to get a 1 inch or 1/4 inch presser foot for your sewing machine. And I know that many sewing machine companies do come out with a specific foot that's that 1/4 inch or quilter's guide. And I think that's really helpful. I know that I have purchased one of those, and that's been really helpful in getting my seams to be more accurate.
And you know, the first time I used one, it was actually, I was at a retreat and I was borrowing a machine for the day. When I opened it up, it had that 1/4 inch foot on it with the guide along the side. And I thought, oh no, I never sew in this kind of, with this kind of foot in place. And after about 8 hours of sewing that day, I was a believer, and I added one to my machine too. So it is a great thing. Sandra says, walk away for a while if you're getting frustrated. Also, walk away when picking out your fabric and return to see if you still like it. If not, change again and do the same until you like it a couple times in a row. And I think that's important. Sometimes back to that competitive sewing, we get in such a rush to pick our fabrics because we want to start cutting or start sewing. Or for me, you know, I'm trying to pull a project together right before I go on a retreat, that I don't really take the time to sit back and look at it. And sometimes as you let that project marinate for a while on top of your sewing table, you really can come up with a better solution or a better mix.
And Cecilia says, don't criticize your work if it's not up to your scrutiny. Just label it as charming. I love that. Another way I've heard it described is, it's folk art. And I think those are both great ways to describe those little imperfections that we may have in our projects.
There you go. Now, we did have a few people comment that there are no rules. And in our office, we call that the Jill Mead rule. Jill's our editor for Quilts and More. And Jill always says, you know what? These are all made up rules anyway. Going back to that quilt police idea, You know, quilting was made up as something to keep people warm, and we no longer really just do it because we need to stay warm at night under a blanket. So it's all just made up rules anyway. Make up the rules that fit for you.
The best advice that Penny got was that when you go to a quilt shop or a quilt show, always stop at the quilts that you don't like. Study them and learn from them. And again, I think that's great because you don't always like a quilt because why? The color or particular technique? Well, there's lots of ways. If you would pull the people in our office, I think you'd find we, you know, around the color wheel as far as favorite colors in our office or favorite technique. We all like to do things differently. So look at the things that you don't necessarily like, and that'll you can learn from those.
That's great advice. Kathleen shared, practice makes perfect. The more I sew, the more accurate I get. And that is so true. If you just practice, you can get better at something. And I always think it's sort of fun to look back at those first projects that I applicate and see how much better my skills have gotten. And you just pick up tips and tricks along the way and you learn something new that really works for you and it improves your skills dramatically.
Sue shares, it was the same thing I told my daughter. It can be done or it can be perfect, but not both.
That's awesome. Along those same lines, we had a gal that said to take the word perfect out of my vocabulary was the best advice she got. I do not worry about the perfect police anymore.
Valerie shared, never, 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 ever sew over straight pins with your sewing machine. And I think that anybody that's ever done that and broken a needle or gotten a pin stuck down in your throat plate can attest to that. And unfortunately, I should have followed that advice more than once.
Right. The most careful people are the people who have made that mistake once. And most people don't make it a second time. Nancy shared, you don't have to finish everything. What a relief. And I remember going pretty early in my quilting career to a meeting where a gal said, you know what, if you don't like it and you just want to stop, it's okay. You can give those projects away. In fact, I was a member of a guild for a while that would have an exchange of unfinished projects. You'd bring your UFOs and the pattern and the pieces and in whatever state it was in. And then once a year, we'd trade UFOs because for some people, it was a joy to get that half-finished project that they thought looked awesome that you never wanted to see again.
That's a great idea. Nancy shares, don't give up. And I think this kind of goes back to our little bit of a quilt police discussion that we had earlier is, you know, don't let somebody criticize you and then, you know, you get frustrated or give up. Keep on. And if you have questions or concerns about a project, ask a friend and they might be able to help you work out some of those difficulties that you may be having. But don't give up. Keep going.
And Sherry shares that so far my best hint, she either came up with it on her own or read it somewhere, she wasn't sure, was that she attached her seam ripper to the side of her machine with stick-on Velcro. So now it's handy and she can find it whenever she needs it. And that also is great advice. Well, these are some wonderful tips that our Facebook readers have shared. And I hope that you, as you're listening to this, have thought of some other great advice you'd like to share with other quilters. And I'd encourage you to go online at Facebook, at the American Patchwork and Quilting page. If you're not already one of our friends, please join us and leave us a message and let us know what your best advice is, because it's great to hear from other quilters what works best for them so that we can all learn more.
Win free stuff! Find out about our newest online sweepstakes and contests and how you can enter at allpeoplequilt.com/promos.
The Fall 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show is about to start. First up, the exotic fabrics of Cusco by Kate Spain and Chant, with rich fuchsia, indigo, and orchid. Do you hear that? It's the ocean breezes coming from the Seascapes collection by Deb Strain. It's no mystery. You'll love the Get a Clue with Nancy Drew line. Hearts and flowers and houndstooth, oh my. Kissing Booth by Basic Gray brings romance to the runway. Stay tuned for more runway reporting. Visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics.
Introducing the new Bernina 7 Series machines with the latest sewing and embroidery innovations, including an extended free arm and embroidery area, the Bernina Stitch Regulator, and a world's first, the B9 Hook. sew quieter, faster, and without interruption. With up to 1,000 stitches per minute and 80% more bobbin thread capacity than our standard bobbins, there's no limit to your creativity. For more information, visit Bernina.com/7Series. Bernina, made to create.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Keltner, Executive Editor of American Patchwork and Quilting, and I'd like to invite you to join me in making a pillowcase and making a difference. It's easy. Make and donate pillowcases in your local community. Use your favorite pattern or choose from one of the free patterns at allpeoplequilt.com. Whether you sew pillowcases with a group or by yourself, you can help someone less fortunate. You could donate them to a women's shelter, boys or girls club, homeless shelter, veterans home, or any other organization you know of in need. Once you donate the pillowcases, log on to allpeoplequilt.com. Click on the box in the upper right-hand corner for the 1 million pillowcase challenge and enter the number of pillowcases you created to our national tally. We know quilting changes everything, and we're out to show the world just how much quilters care. Please join the American Patchwork and Quilting 1 million pillowcase challenge. We're counting on you.
See what other quilters are up to on the American Patchwork and Quilting page on Facebook. Simply go to facebook.com and search for APQ Magazine.
So we've talked about the answers we got from our fans on Facebook sharing their best sewing advice they ever got. And we put that question to our staff as well. And we're going to kick off this segment with some of that advice that our staff members got. And we have varying degrees of sewing expertise. We're all quilters in the office. Some are new quilters and some more experienced. But let's kick it off here with some advice from our staff of the best advice they ever got.
Our assistant editor, Lisa, mentioned that someone told her, don't worry, it'll quilt out. And I think that helped her move on when she was not feeling that great and maybe about how some of those points were coming out. You know, don't worry, it'll quilt out. You won't even notice some of those imperfections.
And I think that can be very encouraging to beginners as they start out. Our art director, Nancy Wiles, said, change the needle with every project to match fabric and thread weight. And then she added the caveat that she used to wait until she broke it. And I hear that a lot from quilters when I'm out and about, of people saying, well, you know, when is it time to change the needle? Whenever it breaks. And I always tell them the best investment you can make in your sewing is to change that needle regularly. And the rule of thumb, I think, is every 8 hours of sewing time, you should have a new needle. It can make such a difference in terms of not having skip stitches, your thread not breaking. And I think we can't always see that little burr that develops on the side that causes troubles. But if you're having difficulty stitching and you haven't changed needles in a while, treat yourself.
And to go along with that, Quilts and More editor Jill Mead mentioned that her best advice that she's received is that when your machine is stitching kind of wonky, rethread it. Stop, take it out, rethread the machine. And sometimes if it's not the needle, sometimes it's just a matter of rethreading your machine.
Absolutely. And I think going along with that, not just taking out the top thread, but sometimes just pull the bobbin out and rethread the bobbin, because as many times as we do it, it's easy to get it in there backwards or not going quite the right way. So take the minute or two it takes to do that and rethread it. It's great advice. Elizabeth Teisinger, who's the editor for American Patchwork and Quilting, her best advice was a good iron is worth its weight in gold. And this is another place that I think many quilters think, you know, there are irons on sale every week at your local discount store and you can pick it up for a song. But if you have a really good iron, and if you're a steam junkie like some of us in the office are, a great steam iron is worth everything, because you can be much happier with your finished results if you have a great iron.
The best advice that I ever received was to buy the best tools that I could afford. And I think particularly I found this true with scissors. And investing in a good pair of quality scissors really can make the quilting process much easier and much more enjoyable.
And my best advice was, if you can manage the pieces better without pinning, you don't have to pin. Pinless sewing changed my life, and I always had difficulty placing pins in and kind of getting the layer shifted a little wrong. I just caused more problems by pinning it than I did by just holding it carefully and sewing at a pace that I could manage the fabric. So when I can do without pins, I do. I'm so thankful to the person that shared that with me.
Elizabeth Stumbo, our assistant art director, kind of had two pieces of advice that was given to her and one that she tries to follow, and that includes to use a piece of tape to make a quarter-inch seam allowance so that if you don't have that quarter-inch foot, you can use a piece of tape, and that can help you get an accurate one-quarter-inch seam allowance. And the second piece of advice she said that she received that's been really helpful is just to slow down.
She was one of our competitive sewers in the office when she first learned how. We'll wrap up the best advice with one from our radio show host, Pat Sloan, and I love this because haven't we all been here? Her best advice ever was buy more than a fat quarter. And sometimes when you're first getting into quilting, you think, well, how much of this do I need? I don't know what I'm going to make with it. And people will pick up a fat quarter and you soon find out you wish you had more. So cheers to Pat for that great advice. The other question we're going to launch into here, in addition to asking our Facebook fans for their best advice, we also asked them, what's the worst advice you ever got about sewing or quilting? And what I think is the caveat when we go through these is that in some cases, people thought the worst advice they had been given was somebody else's best advice. So we're not suggesting necessarily that what's right for you or wrong for you can't be the opposite for someone else. But there were some interesting comments brought up there, too. And we also posed that question to our staff as well.
And Nancy Wiles mentioned that the worst advice maybe she got was to not to be concerned or worried about raveling on some loose woven fabric. And she did find that that was troublesome, actually, on a project that she was working on. So that was kind of a bad piece of advice that she received.
Right. Elizabeth Teisinger, her worst advice was all hems should be hand-stitched. I think she hand-stitched a lot of hems before she started adopting the blind hem foot and stitch on her machine.
And Jill Mead, our editor of Quilts and More, mentioned that it's okay to sew over your pens. No, it's not. The price for the repair, for having the timing repaired on your machine, just isn't worth it, and you'll never sew over a pen again.
I think Elizabeth Stumbo, that was her same advice. She
right.
said she'd have to agree with Jill about sewing over pins. I was guilty of that for years. So it is funny how many people were told it's fine to sew over pins. We really don't recommend that. The worst piece of advice I ever got, and it's something that you see often recommended, is to cut out all your pieces before you begin sewing. If you don't like cutting, in my opinion, just go ahead and sew a few blocks and then cut a little more and sew a little more. I guess I'm a generous fabric buyer, so I don't usually have to worry before I get started that I don't have enough fabric. I like scrappy quilts too, so I can always add something in. But I just don't like to cut everything out all at once. I get bored with that. I want to get sewing as fast as I can. So if I can cut a little, sew a little, that works better for me. Pat Sloan shared her worst sewing advice that she'd ever gotten, and it was, if you love it, it will go together. As she says, I love everything, which does not go together. So I guess you have to keep yourself in check if you love it all there.
Yeah, in addition to our staff getting some advice that maybe wasn't the best or the worst advice, we also asked some of our Facebook fans and friends about that. And here's some of the comments that they had.
So Penny said, I was told I should never use black in a quilt. She said it made a quilt look old and dirty and that it would fade fast. It's amazing how popular black has become in everything from, you know, home decor these days to even kids' quilts and baby quilts, and it looks great. So I have to agree with Penny. It does add a pop of color when you add some black in there.
The worst advice that Marianne got was having to have a reason to make a quilt. Sometimes you just want to make a quilt because you like the fabric. You don't necessarily have to have a reason. And sometimes people will say, well, what did you buy that fabric for? Well, because I liked it.
There you go. That's reason enough for me. I agree. Daisy shared her worst advice was don't ever mess with the tension. And I'd have to say this is a piece of advice that a lot of quilters operate under, whether it's with their sewing machine, their serger, whatever it is they're working on. And I'm a firm believer that you really need to understand the tension on your machine. And it's okay to change things up and understand what you're doing to adjust that tension so that you can switch it back to its standard setting for your machine. But it'll also help you solve a lot of problems on your own. If you know how to adjust that tension, you can fix a stitch that's unbalanced if you're working with a different weight or different type of fabric or a different number of layers.
Another one of our Facebook fans mentioned that the worst piece of advice they got was that one ruler fits all jobs. And that's not necessarily true. I think we've talked about in the past in some of the shows about there are specialty rulers that are good for specific projects or techniques that you're using. So one ruler does not necessarily fit all projects.
Now, I'm not sure this fits into the worst advice, but it is funny and something I thought of. Leanne said, since you sew, you don't mind fixing this for me, do you?
How many times have we heard that?
That's always a great comment that quilters get. And it's like, yeah, no, I don't want to fix your hem your pants for you. Thanks, though.
And Pam mentioned that the worst advice she received was no need to measure and pre-cut the border pieces. Just sew it on. Trim it to size later. And her experience has actually been, no, it does stretch and grow. So do measure those border pieces and make sure that they fit and just don't lop off the extra.
Right. And I think the time that comes into play most is when if you don't measure them and you just sew them and trim them off, you find often that your sides aren't even. One side gets longer than the other, and then you end up with that asymmetrical quilt. And if that's your goal, it's fine, but you got to watch it. The other one, does this sound familiar? Matchy, matchy. Does it really need to match? Just think of all the interesting projects one misses out on by waiting to find the fabric that matches. That's really true.
And Linda mentioned that she was told that you never need to press with an iron. A finger press will be fine. Well, that may be true with smaller pieces, but I think particularly with larger pieces, you definitely are going to want to use an iron so that you have those seams opened correctly and things are going the right direction and there's that nice crisp seams that you can be putting together. Don't want to have any folds there.
Absolutely. Well, my dad always used to say, you know, free advice, it's worth exactly what you pay for it. So keep that in mind. You get some great advice from people and some not so great advice for people. And ultimately what it comes down to for every quilter is you should do what works best for you. You should be happy with, you know, the technique you're using. It should be comfortable for you. And don't worry about those people who will tell you that's not the right way or it's not the rule. A good rule of thumb to follow is if anybody tells you there's only one rule, they're wrong. So you make up the rules for the way that you want to quilt, and we hope that you have fun quilting. And if you'd like to share more with us about the best or worst advice you've gotten about quilting, we'd love to hear it. Share it with us at our Facebook page for American Patchwork and Quilting. We hope you'll be a fan of ours and that we'll learn more from you and what you love about quilting.
Remember to visit allpeoplequilt.com for more information on topics from today's show, as well as how-to videos, free printable patterns, and additional tips and techniques. Thanks for listening to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio.